Hello, beautiful queens, and join me as we open up conversations that help women walk through difficult transitions and inner healing while unleashing the potential that God has placed within all of us to become untamed and unchained. In each episode, you'll get the tools and resources to create the change in your life that you desire as you unleash your vision, your gifts, and your voice and your confidence to live the life of your dreams. I give my listeners and clients love and support. However, I do take the direct approach and we cut out that BS in your life. So instead of playing small, you can create big leaps into your life. Now let's dive into this episode. Hello, everybody. I am so excited to bring you Jeff today. I found him on Instagram, of course, and was like, I need to bring him on because so many of you need to hear what he has to say. And I know he's going to drop so many wisdom, so many golden nuggets of wisdom and treasure. And so, Jeff, I'm going to hand it over to you and let you share what you truly do and what you bring to this world.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. What I do, in short, is I help coaches and creatives grow their business. Most of the time, what that entails is helping them generate revenue, because somewhere along the way, creators specifically, but sometimes coaches as well, have this belief of, if I just create enough content, right? Like, build it and they will come. Like, if I just keep creating, eventually someone's going to be like, hey, I need your help, which can be true in some cases. But what I help them do is understand what are income generating activities and what's busy work.
Yes, which I think most of us get lost. And I'm like, I probably should be wearing shades today because I feel like I'm going to get called out in what you do, because it's so true. I remember when I was in that, in my business of like content. Yeah. And you're just, for me, it was almost like I was hiding of like, oh, I hope they come to me. Oh, like, I hope this gets me what I want. And as we know, it doesn't. And also something that I had noticed about you was when we connected on Instagram and I followed you, you reached out, but it wasn't a sticky reach out. It was a heart connection reach out. And that's a problem. Like, I don't want to say a problem, but that's an area a lot of people get caught up in. So would you want to talk about that to like clear the air with that one?
Yeah, this is one of the, like you said it, I believe the word you used was sticky. And it's true. A lot of people have, is cursing allowed on this show?
Absolutely.
Yes. Like, great. Because I can hear it coming and I'm like, I better check in.
No, let it go.
So many people have shit around that, right?
Yeah.
And there's this weird thing of, if I engage in a conversation with someone, I'm being weird or I'm sliding into their DMs. And it's like, really? That's a fascinating belief. If we were sitting in a room in a social situation, and I said what I said when I posted or in my video, and you said, oh my God, that was amazing. Me not responding would be me sitting here just blankly staring at you. That's what most people are doing on social media. It's normal for me to reply and be like, hey, thanks, appreciate it. The message I sent you is a very standard message of appreciation, which I send to everybody who follows, comments, or likes. Because I genuinely want to have conversations with people. That's what fucking social media is for. And it always fascinates me. It's like, people are like, oh, I don't want to be weird. It's like, you're being weird, not saying anything. Like, you're just being weird. Just be normal. Like, if you would be awkward in a social situation, you're probably going to be awkward on social. It's not different.
Sure. Yeah. And your energy behind it was sincere. Like, I could feel that. Because we do get messages in our inbox where sometimes it's like, ugh. Like, no, thank you.
And I hate all of them.
I'm like, and that's why it's just so refreshing when somebody does message and it's like, wow, like you can feel their heart behind it, you know, when they're sending that message. But I kind of want to ask you, so what got you into doing what you're doing today?
So the short version of it is, I was a transformational coach and I had no clue how to market myself. So I had to learn how. The winding road answer is so I was pre-med in college. When I graduated, I was studying for the entrance exam for med school, the MCAT, with the big book, very equivalent to like the SAT study books, like these huge, like gigantic books. And I remember I was sitting at my desk in my parents' house at the time, and I was months into studying, and I just heard this very clear no. It's like, the fuck? Like, what do you mean no? It was my kind of version of conversations with God, or conversations with Jeff's consciousness, I guess. And from there, I didn't go to medical school, and I ended up moving to LA, where my cousin was preparing a macrobiotic diet for my cousin-in-law. So he was diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer, and he healed naturally through this particular style of this lifestyle and this particular eating style. So I learned that. And then I was a live-in private chef with macrobiotics and raw food for about 7 years. And in those 7 years, I started to see a very strange equation, if you will. Like, the people who were open and receptive and who wanted to learn about how to heal naturally and just do better and be better, they would get better. And then there were people who just were resistant as fuck, and they hated it, and they would complain about it, or they would still, like this guy I worked for in New York, he was so thin, he was so emaciated that his suit that he would wear was at least 5 sizes too big. And he would still be gripping onto his briefcase on the subway, going to the office. He was an attorney, and he still looked angry. He was still holding on to a bunch of stuff. So that was the moment where I started to be like, yo, there is way more to this than food. And I got into consciousness and transformational coaching and things of that nature. So the company that I got certified with all of those things with was called Mastery Systems. And the technologies or techniques were called Sacred Body Language Translations, Bio-Optic Holography, Conscious Language, Outcome Facilitation. So I had these things, you know, as your facial expression shows, like, that's a mouthful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn how to market those things. So this was 2012-ish. I went to Experts Academy, and I loved the idea of building a membership and doing things that were virtual courses, right? Like online courses. And I went back to the guy who ran the company at the time. He actually recently passed a couple of months ago. And I said, hey, Bob, I was like, we've got to take everything from offline to online and this, that, and the other. And I pitched him, and that led to another 7 years where I helped him build out 40 products and programs, facilitator trainings, teacher trainings, smaller products, at the time, conference calls, like all kinds of stuff. This was when Kajabi 1.0 came out, like the first iteration of Kajabi. And that was basically the beginning of me, in a way, getting paid to learn how to market stuff that was very, very, very hard to market. Now I tend to help people that are in the personal development realm, and you could say maybe obscure niches like embodiment coaches or productivity coaches, or even like people who help you find your purpose and all of these different things. And I help them to package and sell the stuff that they want to sell.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. I just got to, like, in the beginning, that was a big ass leap that you took. Like, most people would miss that when you were like, no. And to take such a courageous leap in doing something like that in your life, that's huge. But yeah, that's a powerful story. And so what do you see as the biggest thing that we can miss as content creators when we're putting it out there, instead of like, putting it out there? How can we, when we're putting it out there, how can we make sure that we're actually connecting with the people to bring in the income that we're desiring?
Yeah, I love the way you phrased that question, said it all. Like, how can we connect with people?
Yeah.
Period. That is the crux of your question. And that, I think, is the part that a lot of people miss. Traditionally in marketing, we're looking at your customer avatar, your ideal client. Like, I say it in that tone because it's right. Just so like
beat. I hate down. That it's term, like, yo, ideal client.
If I ever
client.
Have to do that fucking exercise again, I will bitch slap someone. Like, it is that, it's so annoying, right? And I still have my clients do the same thing. But it's important because you have to know who you're speaking to, right? Yeah. Like, if I have a daughter who's going to be 14 next week, right? And if I'm talking to her, or if I'm talking to my mom who's in her 70s, it's a different kind of conversation. Same exact thing. If I'm on social media, if I am sending a message out or broadcasting something, I want to know who I'm speaking to. One, they will know it's for them when they hear it. But two, it helps me craft that message. So first things first is to do exactly what you said, is connect with the person who it's for. Emotionally, energetically, and literally, like, sit your ass down. I get a little like hyped about it because it's so funny. It's simple, but the part that I think most people get tripped up about is they put a message out there and they're like, oh, it didn't work. And then they get all flustered and they get just, they want to give up or they want to throw in the towel. It's an iterative process and you get feedback. Some people show up. If it's not the person you want to work with, adjust your messaging, go back to the drawing board. And it's kind of like that. Put the message out, back to the drawing board, put the message out, back to the drawing board. And if you put the right message out, you should have the right people coming to you if the right message goes out. So first things first is creating it for a specific person and in a way being patient. Now, there's a difference between like being delusional and being patient. Being patient means, you know, put it out there, adjust, put it out there, adjust. Being delusional means doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Very different conversation. So that's one of the, like, I would say hard skills is make sure you're creating for someone. Another hard skill that, in my opinion, is one of the most important, closely related to the avatar conversation, is idea generation. Sitting down and saying, I need to shoot a reel, or I need to make a YouTube video, or I need to write my newsletter, and going from zero ideas to finished product is not an easy thing to do. Right? Like having a practice of idea generation. Actually, an article I have comes out tomorrow that has a Notion template where you can develop all of your ideas and then move them into different stages from just an idea to in progress to film to create it. And just having a system of how you generate ideas. So you have 70, 100, however many ideas at a time that are sitting there because you've done it over a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. When you sit down and create content, you've done most of the work. So now it's just take the idea that you generated, pull that down from the ethers and from your dashboard that's on your computer, and then create the post or create the video or create the script. And instead of trying to go from zero to complete, you've now just shortcutted the process because you have a database of ideas to draw from. So those are like two of the biggest things that I see people, they don't know who they're creating for. So they're just speaking from their heart. I'm just putting up the post because it feels right. And it's the stars are aligned and all that stuff.
I can tell you work with a lot of women.
Yo, I used to be the, like, you know, spiritual dude too. So it's like, there's a lot, way too much to cover in one interview, but it's, we'll go where we can go with it. And those are the hard skills. The other soft skills are basically come down to emotion regulation.
Oh.
Discipline at its core is a process of emotional regulation, of self-regulation. Like, think about the last time you tried to focus on something. What made you hit the eject button? Oh, I got to do this. You're moved by a feeling to go do something else, or a conversation you need to have that you haven't had, or something as dumb as, right, like, ooh, I got to buy this thing, so I'm going to go over here and buy this thing. If you can learn how to manage your emotions and your attention, you're going to make way more progress. Same thing with what I spoke to earlier about putting out a message and expecting it to do something. And when it doesn't, giving up, realize that it's a process, right? Like, have realistic-ish expectations, right? Like, expect that it's going to be a process. Don't expect just because it's digital that you're going to put a message out and 10 million people are going to be like, yo, I want what you have. And that's, I think, where a lot of people are coming from. They're like, well, I have X amount of followers. It should have this and it should do that. Well, if it doesn't, then adjust, you know, like be practical in a way where it's not unrealistic expectation. But on the soft side, like soft skills wise, like being able to regulate your emotions is a huge thing. And I think where a lot of people get distracted unknowingly.
Yeah, because it's that self-sabotage in your subconscious mind that's like avoiding doing the difficult thing. And I know I will say I've gotten better in the last few months with it, but that was like my biggest war, which is honestly, all of a sudden the laundry needed to be done or I needed to make a doctor's appointment that I had avoided for 3 months. Like, why is it just so magical that everything comes to my brain to do? And it was like reparenting myself and being like, no, I need to sit my ass down and actually work for an hour and know you're not moving. Like, unless something's on fire, we're not going anywhere. So what are some of the daily practices that somebody can implement into, because I think I don't think I know, like you said, emotional regulation and the discipline. That's a big one because we live in a world where it's, like you said, you know, just go how you feel and like go with the flow and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And you got to have structure in your business. So
yeah,
how does somebody begin to implement that in their life so they do create an income that they're desiring with their business?
Yeah, I think the first things first is understanding what you want, right? So I remember a time when I thought I wanted a big team and like a multiple seven-figure business, and I wanted to run events and retreats. And I finally realized, I was like, I'm an introvert. Like, I can show up, and when I'm ready to like be loud, I'm Italian. I'm 100% Italian. So like, I'm naturally just like rambunctious and loud.
Right.
But I would rather create digital assets. I would rather work from home, and I don't want to like be the guy on the stage. Like, I'm not going to like hype a bunch of people up. Like, the moment I realized that I didn't want what I thought I wanted based on all of my friends who are in the industry, I don't want their businesses. I don't want to manage 40 people. I want to manage a very small handful of people. And I know exactly what it is that I want to create, period. And knowing what I wanted to create gave me a very clear dashboard of what was necessary to achieve that. So once I knew that, then I said, okay, cool. If I want to have digital resources and assets and things that I can produce, then I need to have the time to do that. So for me, what that typically looks like is I'm at my computer a lot. I don't travel a ton right now. I know that for a period of time, I'm going to be building. And building means being freaking focused. Mm-hmm. So I always say it's design of your lifestyle first. So if you know that you're easily distracted, don't co-work, right? Like, knowing what to avoid is just as important as knowing what to do, right? Because there's things that are going to get in the way of you doing the thing you mm-hmm. need to do. So I also think that not everybody's the same, right? Obviously. And not everybody's style of doing work is the same. So if you're a morning person, the best thing you can do to start producing great work is protect your mornings. Don't pick up your phone. Don't get on YouTube. Don't do things. Don't get on social media first thing in the morning. Protect the time where you're going to be most productive. Really, most people can only focus, like really, really, really focus for about 4 hours a day. So for me, what that looks like is I'm up ridiculously early. Like, I'm up at 3 a.m. most mornings. I mean, this has been happening for about a year-ish. So between the hours of 4 a.m. and 9, I am ruthlessly focused. And I probably do more, and this is not to boast, but like, I probably achieve more in one morning than most people will do in an entire week. But that's because I've conditioned myself for it. So knowing your personality type is huge. I'm an athlete. Like, I run ultra marathons. I treat my business the same way. Like, I train to create content. I train to create video, right? Like, if you've seen my content, yes. So you know that it's like, if you look back, you'll see that in succession, and there's blocks where it looks the same, like less shitty to a little bit less shitty to awesome. And it's okay. Just, it has this progression, and that's because I would train certain skills and I would build on top of it. So for a certain period of time, that was all right, cool. I'm going to work just on creating a great post and a problem solution orientation. So I'm going to state a problem and I'm going to offer a piece of the solution. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get insanely obsessed with video quality. So then I got ludicrous with lighting and cameras and mics and all of the things. And then I stacked that. So the other thing I think most people should do, say it that way, is understand that habit stacking and skill stacking is leverage. So trying to run a retreat and do a group program and have a one-to-one offer and then have a fucking online course, stop it. Mm-hmm. Just stop. Like, stop, stop. All of those things suck because you're doing 12 instead of 2. Pick one or two offers and then build around those. Like, minimal is definitely the way to go. Most people are overextended and overwhelmed because they're trying to achieve too much, because they're looking at somebody who's been in business for 10 years and has a team of 30 people. You're not going to have the same business that that person has if you're a solopreneur with maybe a video editor. It's a very unrealistic expectation. So I would say start there. There's a lot, but the first things first is know thyself. It's like, know how you operate, move from there. Understand what you get excited about. I love gear. So I put myself in a position where I buy cameras, I buy microphones, I buy lights, I built a studio, and that turned into an offer, which I offer very rarely these days because I've done a few studio build outs and it's a lot of freaking work. But if you can find an angle of something that you really enjoy doing that you'll like dork out on, you're way more likely to do that than anything else. So it's when it comes to content creation, if you like to tell stories, get really good at telling stories. If you like video, just get really good at video. If you're an awesome writer, get great at writing. If you like entertaining funny memes, be a curator of ridiculous memes. Like there is an angle for everyone. You just got to find it.
Dang, I think you blew all the duckies out of the water and gave us clarity all in that sentence, because that's something that we, and even as you were saying it with myself, like we can get caught up in trying to do it all because we want it, like the overachiever in us wants to succeed in every area. And then we're like the shiny object syndrome, we're like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I want to do this, and I want to be great at that. And the comparison thing does show up. Like you said, we unfairly compare ourselves. However, I also think like that's an avoidance of ourselves too. And I would love to hear your thoughts of like, you said, know thyself. What do you have to say to the person that is doing it all? Is it something? Because I'll just honestly say, I know in the beginning when I was trying, I was hiding from truly being seen of what I was great at. It was like subconsciously, I was like, well, if I put out all this different stuff, kind of like throwing spaghetti at the wall. Yeah. And then when I got really crystal clear of like what I wanted this year and where I wanted to go with it, it was like, oh shit, now they're going to see, like they're actually going to see me. And I don't know, do you find this in your clients where they're actually hiding behind the busyness and the chaos just because of the fear of showing up real and being them?
Yeah, most of the time, it's not necessarily like they don't want to show up real, right? Or like there's this afraid, the fear of being seen. It's more of just a fear of looking stupid or a fear of looking like a beginner. Everyone wants to like go from zero to hero. It's like they want to go from never producing a video to being a fucking producer of cinematic content overnight. Good luck.
Absolutely.
Like be willing to just start where you're at, right? It's like even a lot of clients that I've had have had this like, well, I'm afraid. And like, what if I live by this one axiom? Let's find out. Well, what if? I don't fucking know. Let's find out. Well, what if that person says it? Let's find out. Well, I'm afraid. Let's find out.
Ooh, yeah.
Go do it. Get real data, not what's in your head. Not what you think is going to happen. Stop entertaining the possibility of what could happen and just go find out. You're not going to die. I promise.
Yeah, that's a question I ask myself when fear comes up. I'm like, when it really starts taking over, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, are you going to die? And I'm like, no. I'm like, okay, let's go do it. What is one of the biggest myths that you see in this industry of like content creation that blocks people that they're just like, because I'm sure you looking at people's accounts, you can pick up probably automatically what some of the pain points are in them or what's going on behind the scenes. So what is like some of the biggest things that you see that is going on?
There's a lot of stuff. Where to start with that? So I think one of the biggest myths is I need a big audience to sell stuff. And I've had clients who have, you know, really well-known people in the industry that have 200,000, 300,000, 500,000 followers. And we go to launch an offer and it doesn't do great. And we launch another one and it does. But the thing is, in my experience, I find that people with smaller audiences have more buying power than the larger audiences. So you, if someone has 300,000 followers, and their engagement rate is, say, like 0.5%. That's a very small engagement rate. It's a lot of people, but it's a small engagement rate. Now, there's accounts I've worked with and folks who have like 10,000 followers, and it's like 2-3% of those people are highly engaged. That's a lot more than 0.5%. But most of the time, I think people wait too long to sell stuff because, like, well, I don't want to be salesy and I don't want to sell anything. And I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. It's like, cool. don't be in business.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, and I had this, and I know I come off sometimes. It's like, oh, just do it. Right? I say it that way because that's how I talk to myself. Right. Yeah. There's been times in the past where I've been just like, well, do I want to make a call to action on everything? And like, what if I put this up and no one responds? So what? Then no one responds. You know that thing didn't work. Try something else. Like, the faster you can go from idea to implementation, the better.
Yeah. Right.
Obviously, you don't want to do things sloppy. But being swift to take action will get you way further than being in the process of doing things. So I would say when it comes to audience size, that's one major misconception. Yeah. Is people think I have to wait until I have a big following to sell. I think the other thing that I see, and this may ruffle some feathers, but I'm starting to, this is a newish thought, but I'm starting to think that like personal development, I've been in that industry for the better part of 15 years, spirituality, all these things. I think it's doing more harm than good.
Mm-hmm. I am so glad you're ruffling feathers.
I think that more people, what it's done in some ways is it's given people a new fucking language to complain in. And it's given them more excuses. Well, it's just not in alignment and this and all of these things. Cool. That may be true. How do you know? Well, I can just sense it. You're full of shit.
Yeah.
Go poop. You know what I mean? It's like,
that's great.
This used to happen at the end of sales calls and different. I got to meditate on it. It's called avoidance. I'm sorry. It is called you're avoiding doing something and you're cloaking it in spiritual garb. Stop it. Oh. Just stop it.
Yeah.
So that for me, this is starting to be one of those things where it's just, you know, a lot of people talk, very few people do.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can justify themselves.
Yeah. In a very complicated language that, and it's funny too. Like,
yeah.
You know, when you've probably felt this as well, Leona, right? Like somebody gives you this long thing and you're just like, you hear the words, but you can't respond from a place of depth because they don't, it's all mental. And
yes.
They think they're being spiritual or like heart centered. It's like, yo, you just mind fucked yourself and me. How would you like me to respond? That's where I usually come. I'm like, well, cool. Like I hear everything you're saying. Do you have a question?
That's great.
Or is there something that I can help you with?
Yeah.
Well, I need to give you context first. No, I don't need context. Ask me a question. I'll ask for context if I need it.
Oh, I'm glad that you're onto this though, because it needs to happen. And like, I know I used to mind fuck myself all the time. And that's where I finally got into, you know, doing the somatic work in the, because I was hitting a brick wall. I was like, I know way too much stuff up here. And it's sending me like in a merry-go-round, around and around and around and around. Cause I sit here and my brain is just going round, round, round. And you contradict yourself a lot too, because it's like, you know, like you said, well, I know I want this, but let me meditate, or I know I want this, but you know, I don't feel ready or whatever it is, or like, I need to heal this yet, or I need to face this or whatever. And it's like, no, it happens when you're in the action, when you're being messy, and when you're showing up and you're actually doing the things. And that's the fastest way to eliminate your doubts and your fears. And so like with the engagement part, cause I've heard a lot on that one, a lot of conversations, this comes up a lot, is how do you get people to engage more? And I'm like, honest confession, I'm not creating content right now, like real, I'm in my stories because of my shift in my business. So I'm like, I don't want to sound like I'm like not being, what is the word that I'm looking for? Like honorable to who I am. I'm going to create it, but because I'm in that spot of like transitioning. But that was something that was in all the groups that I was in, was engagement, engagement, engagement. And so how do you engage people and get those conversations going?
I mean, the hard truth with that is if you're not getting engagement, your content probably sucks.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so, your content needs to improve, right? Like here's the funny part is that, and I realized this recently for myself, I consume most of my content in long form. I consume on YouTube. I read newsletters. Like I like things that are more in depth. I create a lot of content on Instagram that's short form. I don't love consuming short form content because I feel rushed. Like I don't feel good when I consume a bunch of short form content and it's like, oh, cool, great. You just told me this thing. What else, right? If I'm creating stuff that I wouldn't consume, there's an incongruency there. So that's one place to look at. And for me, what that looks like is I'm shifting more of my attention to creating on YouTube now. I'll still create shorts, but the objective is not to get high engagement. It's to drive traffic to something else. So if you're not getting engagement, and just to be clear, like I'm not a social media expert. What I help people do is get sales and engage with people on social, not get more engagement. It's a slightly different conversation. So getting more engagement usually means how do we get more likes and comments?
Well,
what I do is I help people connect with their ideal customers and sell high ticket coaching most of the time. So if you're not getting engagement, you need to go back to the drawing board. Like, okay, cool. How can I speak to this person different? Do I know who I'm speaking to? Right. Mm-hmm. If I had that person in front of me, do they want to hear what I have to say? Can I actually solve their problem? A lot of the time, people who are not getting engagement, it's not like that their content sucks. It's that they just don't actually have the skill to help the person. They're just creating shit.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So,
that's part of the challenge. It's like, it's not create better content. It's get better, like yourself, like learn some shit, gain some skills, get better at your craft, and then create content from a different place. Oftentimes the problem is not the solution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. It does.
So it's not like, oh, my content sucks. I got to fix my content. It's like, oh, cool. My content needs to improve. I got to really like take my self-study seriously and really understand how to market. Oh, cool. Different conversation.
Right. And and that's where I was going to go with it next. And you answered it before, like, because I was like, well, I can just see this. Somebody comes and they're like, well, great. My content sucks. What do I do from this point forward? But you answered in all of that. So can you kind of walk us through like when clients that come to you, like, what is the process that you kind of walk them through for the listener that is listening that's like, wow, I really need Jeff in my life? What does that look like for their journey? Yeah.
Love that. So the beauty of one-to-one coaching is that we go where we need to go in order to get the results. So whenever anybody comes to me, first things first is we look at, I have a little bit of pre-work. So what they do is they don't write their entire life story, but they write out their story. After they write out their story, they identify what their top values are through a few exercises that I have. And then they also look at what are my top three goals for these next 90 days. Everything else precipitates from there. So it's, is everything we're doing in these 90 days going to get me to this goal or not? And if it doesn't, then it's kind of pointless. And if it does, cool, let's engineer how to integrate that into your daily practices. From there, I look at the short term and the long term. So the short term is, most of the time, coaches either have inconsistent months and they're worried about inconsistent months. The reality is with inconsistent months in coaching is that that's relatively normal. Like not many coaches, myself included, have like, I make this exact amount of money every month. I have enrollment periods where I'm enrolling clients and I have really high months. And then other months where they just kind of trickle in, but I'm not focused on marketing, I'm focused on delivery and improving systems. And then I go back into an enrollment cycle. So it's a little bit of a different thing. So the short term is, how do we get cash flow in now? And that could be designing a new offer. That could be revamping an offer that you're currently offering. And then almost always it's, who is it that I am speaking to? Deeply understanding their pains, their problems, their dreams, their desires, the full spectrum of what they want. So getting very clear on all of that. And then doing a content review, like, cool, what channels are you on? What are you saying? How are you saying it? Are you on video? Are you writing? Do you like what you're producing? Really looking at those things. And then there's a series of things that I do with people too. Most folks with just this one thing alone, called the phone, have tens of thousands of dollars that could be just with their personal contacts and with their contacts on social media. Most people have a very untapped well of potential clients that they had no idea were just sitting there waiting for them to say the thing that they could help them with. So I helped them do that as well.
That was a mic drop.
And then the rest of the time working together is action oriented. It's cool. Here's the messages. There's content reviews, whether it's the post you're putting out, the newsletter, maybe there's something that you're launching, there's an offer. Again, it's very tailored to the individual and their goals because it is a one-to-one. It's not like a set A to Z, if you will, or, you know, start point to end point conversation. It's how do we get these things that you want in the short term and in the long term, and then design systems moving forward so you know how to turn the dials in your business to have higher months and have those enrollment periods be successful. And how do you get on a consistent rhythm when it comes to producing content so you're not stressing yourself out about creating, which those two, it's an oxymoron. Like, I'm stressed out and creating. Like, you can't create if you're stressed out. It just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And you had mentioned prior about writing your ideas down, because that's kind of what happens is, for me anyways, they would all sit up here and then I would go to create content and I'd be like, huh, I had a clusterfuck happening. Because it was like, oh, I could talk about this, I could talk about that. Oh yeah, gee, this is great, this is great, da, 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 da. And then I would feel overwhelmed and anxious because it was like, I don't even know where to start now because there's way too much that's going on. So what would you say to the person that is just starting out in their business and they're kind of like, you said so many good things, but where do I even begin with all of this?
Yeah. So just starting out, like brand new baby, just getting starting business, is from zero to however many thousand, typically is grunt work, right? Like, it's just doing the work day in and day out. And sometimes, you know, I always tell people that come to me that are brand new, I'm like, look, you shouldn't be spending money on a coach if you're not even doing the work yet. That is my opinion. I've turned down business where people are like, oh, I really need your help. It's like, no, you just got to go make some shit. Like, go create.
I have never heard that from a coach, just interrupting.
Yeah. It's like, I can help them, but for them to sink thousands of dollars into coaching, it's like, don't spend money on that. Like, go fuck up a bunch. Go produce a whole bunch of content. Like, shoot some videos, write some posts. Like, get a baseline. Like, where am I at? Where am I starting? Like, to go from zero to, because the problem is most people who haven't gotten into it yet, they have very unrealistic expectations.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
me.
They're like, you know, we should work together for 90 days. And then by the end of that 90 days, I'm going to have a six-figure business. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey there, buddy. Let's slow that down. Maybe I've had clients do that. But they're the unicorns. They're the people who've been super successful in other businesses. Some of them have media companies, and it's just a conversation of transferring their network to their current business and then identifying, you know, creating the offer, launching the offer, and creating content, and maybe setting up a website for some of these people because they like more of a traditional model. That's how they do it. But that's a very different conversation. And then, cool, I'm just starting. Maybe you don't have like even coaching certification. Maybe, you know, I've had a few people come to me that are like, you know, I've healed my own trauma and I've read a bunch of books and like, I really want to launch an offer around being trauma informed. And I'm like, I can't help you. Sorry. Yeah. I just had that conversation with somebody today.
I'm so glad. I am so glad you are talking about this.
Ain't gonna happen. No, sorry. Bye. Love you. Bye.
Yeah.
They're a friend too. That's a hard conversation.
That is a difficult one.
It's not a good one.
But you know, we need those harsh realities. Like, because like you said, you can't be like, Delulu isn't always a Salulu in every situation, you know? Yeah. It's like, you gotta find that. You gotta find that balance, that structure, and that journey of, okay, what is working and what is not working. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I remember in the beginning when I went into mine, because I had a prior business, and then I totally shifted over here and went into life transformation coach, which was very different than the business I had before. And I was in the personal development world where it was like, oh, you can make, you know, X amount of dollars. And I was in a complete mind fuck, like literally, because I was like, what am I doing wrong that I am not making what they're saying that I should be making? And I began to listen to different podcasts and began to put parts and pieces together where I'm like, well, no wonder they had a history over here. They had already worked here, or they had done this and they had created this. And I kind of felt like I was betrayed. It was, it was something that I had to step back and actually look at myself and be honest with myself and be real with myself and be like, you're actually just a baby in this world. Like you might have built a business over here, but this way over here that you're building it is not working for what you did over here. And it's not the transition that you see happening in some people's lives, you know, where they kind of just shifted everything over here and they were able to build and run with it. So for you to be that real and say like, no, it's not going to work, or no, go out and just like fuck it up for a while until you can, until you're running. And so what is some of the biggest doubts and fears that you see with people too, of like even doing that? Cause I know a lot of times with some of us that want to make it big, there's this, I know it was this way for me, and it still can show up at times, where there's that inner perfectionist that comes up. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, that skill, build the skill. So if, and like I used to say, embrace the suck. Like if you're not going, so how does somebody be like, well, gee, I'm really not good. Like, do you scale that like in 90 days, every day show up and do this? Or how does that like to create that structure for that?
Phrase the question differently. Like if someone's starting.
So if somebody has a lot of doubts and fears, because if they're coming to you and they're like, oh, I want to do this, but, you know, I'm not where I want to be yet. How do you navigate? Like, what do you see there to navigate through with them?
It depends, right? So like if someone, for instance, if someone's already creating content, they already have clients, but clients are far and few between. Maybe they're they have, it's kind of like a side hustle still. And let's say they generate like 30 to 40 grand a year. And it's just like this little baby business that they've done for a year-ish and maybe 2 years, right? So they've done that 2 years in a row. If they have doubts and fears, like a lot of them, like if they're like, some people have come to me and they're paralyzed by fear in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I figured you kind of attract that because you're good.
Yeah. And it's just most of the time, there's just a whole bunch of stuff build up over time that they haven't addressed. And they are still in this conversation of like, I've got to make this work. And if it doesn't, then this, and there's all these conditional statements. And there's all these unrealistic expectations, but there also may just be, I did this and it didn't work, which really falls into the expectation category. But the first thing I'll do, if I have an enrollment call with somebody and they're not necessarily like a fit for me now, I have just context real quick. So part of the reason why I'm like, yo, there's a lot of people that just have no business buying business programs or signing up with a coach is because there's this expectation of ROI. It's like, if I'm investing in this thing, then I should get a return on investment. And people are going into debt and putting on credit cards, and they're like borrowing money from family. I was that person for years, right? So I have context of like, I did that and it didn't work because I was trying to skip steps. Like in a lot of ways, I wasn't willing to put in the work and fail and look stupid and all of that stuff. And I wanted it to work faster, which can happen sometimes, but oftentimes what happens is the faster we want it to happen, the slower it goes.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, I need that funny little fucking word.
Yeah.
Need is one thing that will be a wrench in the gears more than anything else. Oh, because what you're really saying is, when someone's like, I need this to work, there's a whole list of consequences at the end. Of like, well, if I don't, then this, then this, then this. For me, like the reason I can sit here and be like, you just got to fucking do it is because I've been broke. I've had $10 in my account. I've been kicked out of where I've lived because I couldn't make rent. Like I've been through in the middle of divorce, had to show up and fucking do the podcast and like pretend like everything was okay. And like, not pretend like everything, but save face and like not fall apart. Like, I've been through the damn trenches. Like it's just, it's, I've been there. And the whole thing of like, well, I'm going to pay $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 to someone and that's going to fix my problems. That's not going to fix your problems.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a fit for that person. And I think we need more coaches in the industry who have the integrity to be like, look, you shouldn't be investing in me right now. Here's what you can go and do instead. Do this for 30, 60, 90 days. And if you can do this assignment, right? Like if you can carry on with this, and that was with air quotes assignment, if you can do this thing, then come back to me after. Let me know how it went and we'll have a conversation then. Right?
Yeah.
It takes an incredible amount of trust to be like, yo, it's turning away business. It's being like, yeah, sorry, you know, peace. I'll see you later.
Do your thing.
But at the end of the day, like the biggest fears and worries are like, am I going to make it? Like, is this going to work? Mm-hmm. And for the people who've been at it for a couple of years, and I typically don't take on clients unless they're past that 50K annual mark, because it's just a lot of times before that, it's just grunt. Like you just got to put in the reps. It's like, I can't do your pushups for you. Like I can't, as much as I would love to. Well, I wouldn't actually, I can't do them for you. So the thing of it is, a lot of times, let's say it this way, the fear and the doubt of like, is this going to work? Am I going to make it? Yeah. Is another wrench in the gear of getting them into the consistent rhythm of generating ideas and testing messages, because they're like, they're banking everything on the one post or the one podcast or the one YouTube video. And when it doesn't get 7 bazillion views, they're like, oh my God, I suck and the world's horrible and I'm never going to make it. And I'm going to die.
I'm not made for this.
It's like, really?
Yeah.
That's putting a lot of weight on that one piece of content, my friend.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's like, look, if you can put out content day after day, again, there's a balance with all this shit too. It's like, I'm not saying you need to put out content for 10 years and never expect to make a dollar. Not saying. What I am saying is, if you have the money to put into investing in someone who can help you speed up that process, that's great. If you need to make that money back in the time, like need, like otherwise you're going to be on the street, don't fucking invest in coaching. Got to say it that way, period.
Yes.
Say it straight up, New York Italian style. Don't fucking do it, okay? Just forget about it. But anyways, the point is, the biggest fears really come down to their stuff not being as good as the next person's, or what if I look dumb, or what if I seem unprofessional? The thing is, go and look unprofessional. Go and look stupid. You will find more out through the truth than you will through the delusion of expectation. If I can put out 50 pieces of content and realize like, wow, like I suck at storytelling, go fucking learn storytelling. If I'm putting out a ton of content and it's not coherent, it's like, okay, cool, great. Learn some structure to your posts. Like identify a problem, offer a solution, make it shorter. Cool. Build skills, right? There's too much. I think it's a lot of it has to do with instant gratification and thinking that just because it's digital platforms that everything should move faster and should be instantaneous. That's not how it works.
We got a
checkout page. I should have a flood of customers. I don't think so. There's a lot of checkout pages out there.
You have all of this, like social media being allowed to have make so much, you know, in this amount of hours and this.
Well, that's how they sell stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I love the fact that you were like, don't hire a coach if you're like going, you know, if you're about to lose your house or whatever, because that's
if you're desperate, don't.
That's coming from a place of lack and fear anyways. Now you're just doing because you're afraid, which sometimes, I mean, I will say that has worked in my life. I won't throw that one away, which
it can work sometimes, but too many people are trying to do that is what I'm saying.
Yes. And mine came more from like rock bottoms where I was like, oh shit. Okay. Like I really got a problem solve here. And which made me think of, that's why you give tough love so much, is I have been known to give a lot of tough love. And I'm like, listen, like where I come from and the things that I have walked through, I kind of like am like, you just got to do it. I don't know what else to tell you. I can only like patty cake this situation for so long. And I'm just not the one that will sit here and hold your hand forever. Like when I was doing life coaching and my clients came to me and they're like, well, gee, I feel like I'm good. And I'm like, yeah, that means I did it right. I'm not your therapist. I don't want you coming back for the next 5 years to me. My goal was to get you up and running. And so you have the skills within you. The tools are integrated and buy. Like, yeah, the money is great, but that's not where my fulfillment is going to come from. It comes from the fact that I see you have succeeded in what you came here for. And a lot of times, you know, people thrive off of that of like, oh, well, I want them just because I want the money, or I want, you know, somebody to continue to come. So having honesty and being raw and real like you are is so important. And like tomorrow is, I have a 19-year-old and I almost lost her 3 years ago. She had a bone marrow transplant. And that's kind of where I was thinking about this last week. And I'm like, people so often are like, how do you just look fear in the eyes? I'm like, well, once you watch your child fight for her life, you kind of realize other things. You're like, fucking get over it and show up and do the thing. Like,
yeah, you realize that there's things that are far more like critical and important. And yeah. There's, you know, they say like the most dangerous person in the room is the man with nothing to lose. Right.
Yeah.
It's like when you've been through hell, it's like content not doing well. It's like, cool. It's just information. Like, I'll do it better next time. Like,
yeah, you know,
I'm not going to get all worked up about it. Like, the worst has happened.
Yes. Yes. And that's where I say, like, I had like 4 years where it was like, we went through bankruptcy, went through divorce, went through also almost losing my child, lost my mom. And I'm like, okay, like we have faced it, you know, like you said, not making whatever I like or getting the outcome that I want. It's going to be okay. We can learn how to get back up and continue on. But I don't want to continue to take your time. I could continue to have this conversation, but... Where do they find you? I know personally to find you on Instagram, but you said something about YouTube as well. So, and I'll obviously link your show notes and everything, but where can they find you, hang out with you, and get to meet you? And yeah, because they really just need to follow you and end up having great conversation with you.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the easiest way to find everything is to go to jeffa.co, and that will take you to my main website, which is jeffagustinelli.com. And from there, you can go to YouTube. I had a podcast for about 5 years. So there's like 200 episodes that are still on there. Okay. I do articles every other week. Those are all on there, which my entire objective with those articles when I started was like, you know what? If someone comes to me and they're like, oh, I need to redo my offer. Like, how do I do this? Or what traits do I need to be successful? The intention with those articles are usually like 5 to 15 minute reads each. So they're not short articles, but the purpose is like, I want to give people what they need to at least get to the point where they could be like, all right, cool, I'm ready to work with you. It's like, you should be able to go to those and read through them and get what you need to get the ball rolling. Like, they're designed with that in mind. So the best way to get on the feed for that is to just join the email list. There's a pop-up that comes up on the website. Or if you go to jeffa.co/newsletter, that will bring you to the newsletter page as well. And you can opt in there. At the footer of the website, you'll see links for YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all the things. My main channel that I'm active on is Instagram. And then soon that's going to be shifting more over to YouTube with more long-form content and more... just more real shit. Like, I've gotten very obsessed with video and like cinema quality stuff, but from a perspective of telling a story. So there's going to be a lot coming down the pipeline on YouTube in the coming months, really the rest of this year. It's going to be starting in April.
And I think that's actually something the world is hungry for, is the realness. And you're cutting through the bullshit of just the fluffy nutter stuff. And you're like, here, here's the meat and potatoes, what you really need to be, you know, being served. So what is one last message that you want to give to everybody to leave them with?
It's real simple. Don't be afraid of hard work. Like, too many people these days are just like, oh, you know, if I like sit and meditate, or it's like a self-care and like cold plunges. I take recovery more serious than anybody. Like, you look at my schedule, it's like there's meals are in there, like meditation's in there, like wind down, no screen is in there at night, like everything's in there. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of people have just become in some ways like allergic to grit. And there's this like anti-hustle culture thing. What a lot of people have done is they've put into that bucket of hustle anything that resembles getting after it. And it's like, don't be afraid to get after it. It's like, if it were easy, if it were meant to be just like a walk in the park, everybody would be a fucking internet millionaire. But that's just not the reality. Right? So it's like, just don't be afraid to push, to throttle for a minute and then recover and then throttle and then recover. Like, it's in waves. Like, no one's expecting you to work 24/7, 365 around the clock. You have to find your own healthy rhythm, but do not be afraid to put in the work, to roll up your sleeves, and just get after it.
So good. So good. Thank you so much for your time and for being here. Thank you so much for tuning in to Unchained and Untamed. I'm confident that you received exactly what you require to unleash your potential and unapologetically own your feminine heart and soul and be the woman that God has created you to be. It's time to take the next step on your transformational journey. Apply what you've learned and know that I am here to support you every step of the way. I'd love to hear what your biggest shifts and ahas were that you received from this podcast. So make sure to shoot me a message and follow me on Instagram at @Schrock_Leona. See you there.